everyone, and welcome back to my podcast, And Life Goes On, and this video. So I don't know what you're listening to, if you're on Spotify, if you're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you are. I'm just going to post it everywhere, including YouTube. So today I'm going to talk about a very specific topic, and this could be a little triggering I don't know what stage you are in your spiritual journey. And if it feels triggering, I would say, like, just close the video. And and the reason why I am sharing this entire story is because, A, I have been asked one specific question that I'm going to discuss in a while. A number of times I've been asked this question, and I would like to answer this specific question because I realize that, yes, it is true. So anyway, I won't fuel into the suspense. And the second reason is because although I was questioning, like, should I share a story of how I deal with certain things or not, or should I talk more about myself or not, or should I keep things very general? But I realized that it's very important for me to talk about my personal journey because it sort of allows people not to put anyone on a pedestal. And also, when I was going through certain times in my life, I think many people who did put up their videos like this, and I watch them, I've seen them right now. I have not seen them while I was going through certain phases, because I think if I would have seen those videos a few months back, it would have felt very triggering and it would not have made sense to me because I was not out of that phase of my life. And but however, now when I watch those videos, it just makes more and more sense, and it makes more sense about the downloads that I was getting, you know, the spiritual downloads and reasonings that I was getting in my head, because otherwise I had nobody to validate what I was going through, and I did not know what it was. Okay, so and when I saw, like, I'll name these people. So I heard this video by the Hermit Tarot. She spoke recently, she uploaded a video on how the dark night of the soul is different from depression, and made a lot of sense to me. It made a lot of sense, and I could completely relate with the entire theory that she spoke about. And then I heard Lexi the Leo, that's also another YouTuber, and she spoke about her Kundalini awakening and her experience with Kundalini awakening, which was also something that I could completely relate to. But I believe that if I would have heard it a few months back, I don't think it would have made this much sense to me. And I would not have been in that place. So, yeah. But now when I hear it, when I listen to it, I think it's very important. And for those of you who are not going through these spiritual ascensions personally, but you might have somebody close to you go through certain things spiritually, and then they talk about it and you feel like, you know, like just waving it away, like it's not a big deal or it's not true or something else, like it might, like, make you understand that this is something that happens and it's very normal. So that was a very long introduction. So what I'm going to talk about is a stage in the spiritual awakening journey. It's called the dark night of the soul. And again, I know that this sounds very scary. And I didn't know what it really was till the time I think I was out of it. While I was inside the dark night of the soul, I just knew that I wanted to be free, and I wanted certain things, certain specific things. But I was so obsessive, and I could feel all my negative emotions come up to the surface, and I didn't know how to deal with it. And it wasn't making sense. Nothing was making sense. And I know that I have been healing many people in the meanwhile, and I made sure that I don't project my own problems onto them. But And somehow, you know, universe always brings people who are going through issues that I've already gone through. Until the time I don't recover from certain things, the universe does not bring me those people, you know, who need different sort of help. And I don't know how it works, but I magically, it really works like that. Like every client that I have is coming to me with sort of a problem that I've recently overcome or that I have already come out of. So I don't know how it happens. I have really no idea how it happens. And it's very beautiful that it always happens. I think my spirit guides are actually very protective of me and of everybody else that comes to me. So I'm very grateful for that. I thought that what I went through last year, so if you know me personally, you might know that last year I attempted, and again, trigger warning, this episode might have a little bit of triggers. So if in case you're not in that mental state, please just close this video, okay? Or jump to some other section of the video and that's why I'm giving timestamps in the description of the episode. Yes, so I think like there are certain, like I thought that what I went through last year before my awakening was called the dark night of the soul because it was very dark and it was, I was under depression and I attempted suicide and it wasn't very easy. Honestly, and at that point, I felt like, okay, this is... And then when I had my spiritual awakening after that, I read about these stages in spiritual awakening. I heard about what a dark night of the soul was, and I thought that, okay, this is it. I've already done that. This year I have realized that I have not... That was not the dark night of the soul. That was depression. And it makes a lot of sense because when you are going through depression, I think that you have more people who would understand you. You can reach out to a professional therapist. You can reach out to a psychologist, a psychiatrist. And even your peers and your family members would be more understanding of what you're going through. You can explain it to them that I'm having a depressive episode and things like that. But when you're going through a dark night of the soul, I don't think it really makes sense because it, in a good and a bad way, both. in a good way because, yes, it does. It does feel very similar. It does feel like you are depressed, but it's not like the kind of depression that I felt last year, before that. Like sort of disconnect from wanting to live. This was very different. It wasn't like that. And at the same time, it was not something that was making me happy. I could not like pinpoint it, you know. I couldn't really put my finger onto it. Like, what is this? What is this that I'm going through? I have had sleepless nights, but I somehow... Because I had a spiritual awakening and I realized that this is not something that I've been through before. This is not just depression. This is not something that I can just call a mental health professional and I can reach out to somebody and explain that, okay, I am having a depressive episode and I would like help with it. And this is specifically this was not that. This was something that was very different. I realized that even though I was having sleepless nights, I just felt that my third eye was opening up. I just could feel an ascension in my body. I realized that I spent so much time trying to understand what was going on around me and why I was having those thoughts. I spent so much time on listening to tarot readings that I eventually learned how to do tarot. and I eventually, you know, learned so many things during this time. So it was like more of going through a college and sitting through, you know, certain going through reading, studying a lot of books and gaining a lot of knowledge unknowingly, where I thought that I was just helping myself and I was just, you know, wanting to read, get tarot readings on YouTube, but I was just learning tarot for a different purpose and I had no idea. I swear I had no idea what I was doing and why I was doing that. So it was very different because I could feel an ascension in my soul. I could feel that that I'm growing as a person. At the same time, I had this feeling of deep loneliness inside me that nobody understands, you know. At the end of the day, I felt like I need someone. This, I'm not saying that wanting to be in a relationship is a bad thing. I'm definitely not condoning that entire fact. But what I'm trying to say is that this feeling of that I just want anybody to be in my life. And not anybody. Well, I'll get into that entire concept later. Maybe after a few videos. I don't know if I'm ready to talk about that one spiritual concept yet. But, you know, it was very different from what a traditional depression would make me feel. And I heard Hermit Tarot speak about this, that she said that, you know, there are so many therapists across the world. And because she also went through this dark night of the soul. And after she came out of it, she did a lot of research while she was in that phase. And she heard a therapist say that there are so many, that the most difficult cases that that therapist has are the people who go through a dark night of the soul. And that therapist also agrees with the fact that, yes, people do go through the dark night of the soul and it's very different from regular depression. And this is not something that, you know, I tried sort of everything to distract myself. And I could just, you know, feel like every time I would go back to an old pattern that I thought I was out of, be it my eating habits, be it alcohol, or be it my obsession with weight loss, my obsession of remaining underweight, you know, of having a size zero figure, my obsession or wanting to just ignore my feelings or suppress my feelings with alcohol. I think that was the last phase. And at the same time, ignoring my negative emotions and this need that I only need to remain positive and always calm. And if I am not calm, if I feel angry, if I feel lonely, or if I feel, you know, any sort of negativity, if I feel like I'm blaming somebody, then there is something wrong with me. I felt that I was not allowed to, you know, all these beliefs, they started to crumble. And before they started to crumble and get out of my system, I could really feel it, you know, coming up to the surface and me being extremely angry. And I had major realizations from my childhood. I realized how my attachment I realized how my attachment towards relationship and how I showed up in relationships, how I started giving my all just for in exchange for a little bit of attention from somebody. I would just, you know, throw my own personal needs out of the window, and how this is the anxious attachment style, and how my childhood impacted, and how I was just angry towards so many specific situations that played on long back in my childhood, and how I thought that certain things which are not okay in a relationship are okay to put up with. So it was a long, long, long list of realizations that I had. But I'm not going to focus on those realizations in this specific video. What I want to focus on is, are the things that helped me. You know, so many people come to me and they come to me with one specific question. how do you do it? Like, I also, and I know this sounds like I'm being a little bit of a prude, but this is exactly what people, and it's not one person, it's many people who come to me, and they, I know that many people look up to me, and they ask me this one specific question of how do I do the things that I do? You know, how I deal with my mental health, and how am I able to just, you know, be the person that I am? Initially, I used to, you know, just ignore this question. And then I started realizing, no, there are certain things that I am doing differently. And it doesn't make me an egotistical person to accept that, yes, I am doing certain things that most people around me do not do, that my priorities are different from most people around me, and it's not wrong. So that's why I want to create this video on telling you about how certain things and certain priorities help me. Before that, I would just like to tell you that one specific thing that really helped me during to finally come out of like during the last few weeks and days, the one thing that really helped me was grounding myself. And grounding means that bringing myself back into the world that I am. And I think in the Libra season, like when it hit October, is when I started to really ground myself. I started putting all my focus into the things that I had control over in my life and in my surroundings. I started putting more effort into my work, into my YouTube channel, into my readings, into my work, and my jewelry store and everything, and my personal routine. I started working out more. And of course, the other thing that helped me ground my ideas was my understanding of psychology, of human psychology. So I started reading more about how attachment styles, they work, and how my childhood and how people's childhoods, they impact their adulthood. And it has, of course, helped me. And I know that everything that helps me has helped so many other people. And I wish that it goes on like that. So yes, so now coming back to the question of focusing on the certain specific patterns and habits that I think I have and are my priorities. And I think that most people do not have it as a priority and it affects them in the long run. Yes, so I'm going to focus on that. So the first thing, I've written it in the notebook, so I'm just peeping it there into my notebook. So the first thing that I have is my priority is the fact that discipline is a form of self-care. And when I say this, I will tell you another thing that comes with it. So we often forget the importance of discipline. And I think I said that in a recent tarot reading on my tarot show, the Tarot Tanvi with One India News. One News. One India News. Sorry. I'm going to put the link to the show as well and to the channel as well in the description of this episode. Anyway, so the thing is that my discipline is really one thing that I think has played a very important role in me being very stable. And even though I was going through so many ascensions and changes internally, and I could feel literally every chakra expand, and when your third eye, especially when that opens, it's not a happy experience. And I know that when I had an ascension in my solar plexus, I started throwing up, and I was throwing up for no reason. Okay, I did not eat anything bad or something, nothing happened, but I was just throwing up, and I could not feel, I could just feel that my body was tired, and I don't even know if it was if I had proper fever or if my temperature went up, but I could just not get up, and I had pains all over my body when I was going through solar plexus ascension. I'm not trying to scare you away, but like it is what happens when you go through an awakening and in the dark night of the soul. So I think my discipline my disciplined lifestyle that I think I've always had. I've always been very disciplined. And what I mean by discipline is the fact that it doesn't mean that I am very mean to myself. It does not mean that if I skip my workouts, if I skip my journaling, if I skip certain things, then I start blaming myself. I think this is another thing that I do not do that comes along with discipline. I do wake up early in the morning. I do work out. I do my meditations. I have been very dedicated towards my healing and my meditations. I have always like believed in learning more, reading more, growing more. And I'm very dedicated when it comes to my growth, like, you know, overall growth. And I do put my mental health as a priority. If I have a lot of work, I would still finish the work. I would make it a priority, but not I would not prioritize my work or anyone else over my mental health. And this is one thing that I think really helped me throughout this process. So I was still very regular with my healings and meditations. When I was going through a darker period, I would meditate a lot more. I would heal a lot more. I would I just knew that, you know, my self-care needs to be accelerated at this, in this point in time. And I think this is exactly what I did after my first awakening that happened last year. The first thing that I did was I focused entirely on my physical body and my mental health. And I understand that how my physical health impacts my mental health. So I think this is one thing that always remains. At the same time, I just want to specify that it is not that when I miss my workouts, when I miss my, whatever it is, my reading practices, it is not that I beat myself up. It is not that I don't essentially miss my healings or meditations ever. I don't miss it because I know how important it is. So, but then even if I do, I would just like to say that it doesn't matter because I know that it is, I am human and I'm allowed to make mistakes and it's okay. I am a very fixed person. If you believe in astrology, I have a Scorpio sun, like my sun sign is Scorpio and my moon sign is Leo. So these are two very fixed signs. So when you have fixed energy in your chart, in your birth chart, it's adapting to change sometimes gets very difficult. But at the same time, I'm still learning and I'm still working through it. So the second thing that I think that kept me going was the fact that and it's sort of a continuation with what I said in the first point, the fact that I have a lot of fixed energy in my chart. So when you're a fixed person, when you have this sort of an energy in your chart, you also tend to be a little stubborn. And I think my stubbornness is really important because at the same time, I believe in creating my own beliefs, in creating my own belief systems, and I don't blindly believe anybody, which is again good and bad both. I think it's always good to just test it for yourself always, but I think it also stems from my lack of trusting other people. And it's sort of like, I think because of my trust issues that I am again working on. But the fact that I'm so stubborn and I was focused on my discipline and my mental health is my first priority, I think no matter what happened, I realized that my mental health needs to be prioritized always. And I was not afraid to put myself first. And even though it wasn't very easy to put boundaries and even when, you know, people did not understand exactly what I was going through. And the more I explained to people, because it was a dark night of the soul, and I think I just sounded more crazy. And people, for everybody else, it was like, so what? Like, this is such a plain situation, like black or white thing, but it wasn't like, and I do know that somebody who goes through the dark night of the soul only, they can understand this sort of dilemma that you're in, because people would not understand what you're going through. And it's not something that you can, you know, just wind up without facing your triggers. So I think the fact that I'm such a stubborn person came in handy this time. The other thing that I think kept me going again was the fact that I am not afraid to experiment. So because I am a very stubborn person, if I listen to a belief and if I want to follow it, I will follow it. Okay, I will indulge myself completely into one thing, and then I would decide for myself if it's good or not. Then I would make sure, then I would think, okay, fine, this works for me and this does not work for me. So I am sort of a very stubborn person, and that helped. And but at the same time, I'm not afraid to experiment. And I think this urge to experiment and to want to grow, not just like, I'm not saying like in a negative way that I want to experiment on, I don't know, some substance abuse or something like that. But like experimenting with my self-care as well. Like I am not afraid to try new techniques of meditation, healing techniques. And that's why I learned Reiki as well during this time. And I just found more online channels where I can use different kinds of techniques. And even Reiki meditation, I think it has been a huge help. Of course, MTHS has always helped me, but Reiki is something that has also helped me during this entire period. So what is the next point? Yes. So I think the next thing that helped me heal myself is the fact that I'm not afraid of my feelings. It doesn't mean that if I have a negative emotion, I don't want to get out of it or something like that. But with practicing mindfulness, I understand that feelings and emotions, firstly, they are temporary and they will go away. Secondly, if I have a very strong urge, a very strong emotion, it could be anger or it could be extreme sadness, then till the time I do not address it, if I keep distracting myself, if I keep using alternatives like substance abuse or just like going out and not addressing what I really feel, then it would not come out of my system. I think I'm not afraid to face it. And I know that temporary, and this, I have this strong belief that temporary pain is better than a permanent damage to my psyche. So because again, goes back to the first point that my mental health is my first priority. Because of that, I'm not afraid to face my emotions. And if I, for example, most people, what happens is that if they feel sad, they would, you know, immediately panic. It's not the sadness that is the problem, but it's the fact that they feel that them feeling sad is a bad thing. I don't think that me feeling any sort of like negative emotion is a bad thing at all, because I understand that emotions are just emotions and they'll pass and they will go away eventually. And all I have to do is just let it come up. Like I just dive deep into it. I ask myself and I like what exactly it is, and I allow myself to cry. Again, goes back to the first point. I forgive myself for feeling any sort of negativity, for feeling jealousy, for feeling anger, for feeling lonely, for feeling like I need to blame everybody else around me, and you know, for feeling like a victim. Any sort of negative emotion, I know that till the time I do not dive deep into it, and diving deep into it does not mean that, you know, you give up and say, oh, this is what I'm gonna feel for the rest of my life. No, that's not diving deep. It's like acceptance of your emotion, that yes, I am feeling sad. And no, I will not be okay in one day. I will need rest. I do need rest. What can I do? I need to step away from this thing or this that thing. And yes, maybe I have to meditate 1,000 times in a day, but it's okay. But at the same time, this belief has to be there that eventually every emotion, every situation is temporary and it will pass away. It's not a permanent thing. It's not something that I am. It's not something that that defines me. My anxiety does not define me. It's gonna go away. This obsessive thinking will go away. So I think this is another belief that helped me go through this entire process of the dark night of the soul. And now, like, these things were like more of belief systems. The other practices that I did, like, of course, meditation and healing is one practice, and working out, reading, these are all other practices. The one practice that also helped me a lot is, like, and it has always helped me, is me talking to myself. I think, like, and how I do it, especially, for example, if I'm not having a good day, if I feel upset, what I would do is I would just go to the washroom and I would just look into the mirror, and because I know that physical touch is my love language. It's one of my primary love languages, and so is words of affirmations. So these are two of my primary love languages, and this is how I feel better. So I understand this, and what I would do is I would look into the mirror. I would say, I would, you know, just pretend like I am in like second person, like I'm another human being in front of me, and then I would just, you know, do this. And I know I have spoken a lot about this, but this needs to be emphasized. I really talk to myself as if I'm a baby and, you know, somebody else is going through that thing. And I'm like, it's okay. You want to cry? Cry it out. Cry it out. If I want to cry, I allow myself to cry. We don't. Most people, they're so afraid. You know, when they cry, they're afraid of crying. And that is what creates resistance. You know, they don't want themselves to cry. They don't want to feel sad. But we are human beings. That is how you are supposed to feel. You are supposed to feel that way. You're supposed to cry it out. You're supposed to feel anxious. And if it's, you're supposed to feel angry. You're supposed to feel. If you don't feel, then you're not alive, you know. Then you can't be all happy all the time. And happiness does not mean rejection of your other emotions. It doesn't mean laughter all the time. It doesn't mean giggling. And I don't mask my emotions from myself. Yes, there have been times where I have had to mask my emotions from other people, but it was more of a, I think, protective mechanism, that I was being very protective of myself. Now I don't really do that, and if I do it, like, I'm trying to come out of it. I don't believe in masking my emotions. Of course, like, you know, what happens is, like, many people have this perception, oh, really, you were also sad. Because we see you on Instagram. Of course, when I'm having a sad day, I'm not going to go to Instagram and post a story, you know. Of course, I won't do that. So on my low days, I don't go to Instagram at all. I only go to Instagram when I'm feeling positive. Otherwise, I don't go to Instagram. And I go to Spotify or YouTube and listen to certain people, certain tarot readings that would console me and, you know, help me. So, yeah, I think this is another habit that most people need to understand, that at least try, be honest in front of the mirror. Even if, like, I want to abuse the shit out of somebody and I cannot do it in person for whatever reason, firstly, I would try to do it in person. And if in case I'm unable to do it, then I would at least do it in front of the mirror, you know, and not be such a people pleaser all the time. And it's okay. Like, you know, you don't have to be... please people at least in private. Like, forget pleasing people at least in private, right? Like, when you are on your own, don't try to please everybody. Don't pretend to be somebody that you're not. And it's okay not to be okay. It's completely okay not to be okay. Okay, and it's normal. It doesn't mean that you're weak. It actually means that you are very strong, because it takes a very strong person to accept their negative emotions. I think the one last thing, and I kept it at the last because I think this is one thing that I discovered how important it was. I didn't realize the importance of this one thing in terms of manifestations, in terms of prayers, in terms of bringing my desires into reality, in terms of me trying to make more sense out of my psychic downloads. It did not make sense till the time I wrote it down. I would write down everything in terms of understanding what my ego was writing and what my intuition was writing and telling me. There are so many things and pages on my, like, I think I finished notebook after notebook after notebook after notebook, and I would write I don't know how many times in a day. More than talking to myself, I think this is one activity that I really got into and was sort of a life savior, and it's journaling. And I, in terms of like, and you know, people have such misconceptions about journaling also, and they restrict themselves, like when it comes to manifestation, oh, you should not feel negative, you shouldn't feel like that or that, this or that. It's not true. Till the time you don't dive deep or delve into your emotions, you will not be able to understand what you're going through, and that will not get out of your system. You cannot always be positive or always be happy. You need to understand that we are human beings and we're supposed to feel everything. And so I think journaling made a lot of sense because, you know, I think I trained my intuition a lot while I was journaling, because there were so many things that I would journal out of fear, and these were just, you know, random things that were coming, random things that would come out of my head, and I would just, you know, throw them out. And when I would read, I really like, no, this is not real, this is not my intuition, this is my fear, this is what my ego wants, this is what I think I want in the present moment. And even I think a few months back, there were many things that I thought I wanted, and I knew what I was writing, but now I realized that it was all my ego that was wanting those things to happen, and in those specific manners. The other thing about journaling is that there are no rules and regulations. Like, you know, if you have taken a meditation or a healing session with me, I make sure that I don't make you follow guidelines. I don't believe that this is the right way to meditate and that is the wrong way to meditate. I don't think there is any right or wrong way. I think the more we believe in the things that are right or wrong, positive and negative, is what really keeps us stuck in the matrix and what keeps us not wanting to experience our full potentials. Because it is in the so-called negative or so-called wrong ways that we would really find answers to so many questions of what works for us and what really does not work for us. And maybe some of those wrong ways are the right ways. For example, if you want to meditate while you're lying down, that's also meditation. You know, you can completely do that, and it's not untrue. It's not true that you can only meditate when your spine is erect and when you are sitting, or when you're sitting on a chair or in certain positions. I don't think that's all true. Like, of course, there could be scenarios where one would function better than the other, or specific types of meditation would be beneficial for you. But I know that there are no rights and wrongs. Yeah, so it's a similar message when it comes to journaling. I write my prayers. I write letters to especially archangels. Like, if you know, I feel a special connection to Archangel Michael. And whenever I am in my lowest mood, I write a letter to Archangel Michael. It's like, I need you, Archangel Michael. I need you to get out of this. I need you to help me to get out of a specific situation. Yeah. So these are some of the things that I feel I do differently. And these are like some of the things that I listed and helped me have always helped me, and I think they can help you as well. So I think like these habits are a form, like they're very important and essential. So I believe like maybe if you guys also follow that, maybe it could help you. And I hope that this video was helpful. And if not, like if it was helpful in any way, like let me know in the comment section. Let me know what you think about it. And yes, don't forget to like, share and subscribe to my channel if you're watching it on YouTube. If you're listening to it on Spotify or on any other medium, like just share it, okay? If it helped you. So bye-bye.